classic Cult TV Club, where we watch Cult TV from the year 2002 and before. Now that it's 2022. We're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Mana mana.
Mackenzie.
Hello.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And Alex.
Hey.
And I'm Justin.
Thought Mackenzie was going to have trouble there with a mouthful of popcorn.
A mouthful of popcorn.
So stealthy, Mackenzie.
We're very premature with the popcorn. We haven't started watching yet. What have we not started watching? The Muppet Show.
Two for harmony for the win.
And why did you sick the Muppet Show on us? What did we do wrong?
More like what?
Because you know what? I wanted to have a Muppet party. Justin hates how the Muppets always have a party.
I hate Muppet parties.
Muppet parties. And the Muppet Show is one big Muppet party.
The Muppet Show is one big Muppet party.
To be honest, though, the Muppet Show is an absolute cult classic. I mean, it started out in the 70s. I remember coming home from school and watching it. It used to be on TV in the afternoons. It was just such a part of my childhood, even when it got to the stage where you didn't even know who the guest stars were because they were just so outdated. And then your childhood. So now it's on Disney Plus, and so we've been putting it on for Mackenzie, and we've been enjoying it.
The new one or the old one?
No, so the original 70s episodes.
Yeah, because they also have a new Muppet show as well.
The Muppets TV series 2015.
Well, they do. It's like a mockumentary. It's like The Office, and I tried watching it, and it's...
No. There is another one, more up-to-date one.
Oh, was that the online one?
Where it's all online.
Yeah.
They did it because of COVID.
That was all right. It was clever. But it's not...
Not the same.
So the Muppets were originally a little character that they used to have on Saturday Night Live in the early days. Mm. And then it kind of like it wasn't working out. They were both going in two different directions. So the Muppet Show is basically like the Muppets version of Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
And it is really. That's when you go back and watch it, you're like, absolutely. But yeah, not as edgy. But it's got the guest stars. It's got the band. It's got the comedy. So now it's on Disney Plus. I was like, what show? My twin.
Mrs.
See, it doesn't get captioned on a podcast how much I flail my arms around while I'm talking, and people may get hurt. Oh, no.
You are a Muppet.
I'm a puppet.
So now it's on Disney Plus.
Yep.
It's a really good opportunity to put it on the Cult TV podcast and everyone to enjoy it for the awesome nostalgic zeitgeist that it brings.
Mm-hmm.
Are you done?
We have problems.
Do you have anything constructive to bring to this podcast? If you don't, I'd like it. Please, tell everyone why we picked the Muppet Show today.
Why did we pick the Muppet
Show? What do you like about the Muppet Show? Tell us.
Just got the giggles.
Okay. Yeah, so I was looking up the Muppet Show earlier, and of course the big names in there are Jim Henson and Frank Oz.
Yes.
And we know Jim Henson went on to do...
The Muppets.
Dark Crystal.
And all the Muppets movies.
And the best Muppet Party of them all.
And Labyrinth, of course. But all the whole time, he apparently until his death, he was playing Kermit the Frog.
Yes.
So even though he was doing these big things, he was still the character doing Kermit the Frog every week.
That's because he was doing it because he loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It was always his passion.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I know very little about the Muppets as a show. Like Muppets Christmas Carol and a couple of the Muppets movies are about as far as a foray into it. What I grew up with was Sesame Street.
Which, for the record,
Justin and Jeanette have constantly gotten the Muppets and Sesame Street confused.
Of course, yes.
They came out probably when I was about 7 or 8. I don't know. I was no longer watching TV anyway, and not kids' TV, so...
I don't think Muppets really was that much of a kids' TV sort of thing.
I've never seen the Muppets.
It was partially for adults,
It was more for, like, teens and adults than it was for kids.
I did watch The Muppet Show, but luckily my memory had blotted it out.
Too many Muppet parties.
Trauma, Muppet parties.
So we grew up with the movies, but my sister and my favourite Muppet movie growing up was my parents had taped it onto a Beta video because, you know, we had a Beta when we were growing up it was Muppets Take Manhattan. Tried to get their musical number performed on Broadway.
Because they need to make money or something like that.
Well, they've decided it was a big success in their college town, and so someone says, you should put this on Broadway. So they're like, yeah, we're going to move to New York and try and put it on Broadway, and then they just keep getting slammed in the face. To the point when we were driving to my wedding, the only way my sister could keep me kind of calm was that we sang Somebody's Getting Married from the Muppets Take Manhattan movie all the way from our house to the winery where I got married. So it has a bit of a special, and then once we got out the car, it was like, right, now you're on your own, you've got to stop yourself from crying. So
so what have we got? We've got the Muppet movie, 1979, The Great Muppet Caper, 1981, Muppets Take Manhattan,
that was 84,
Muppet Babies, 1981.
You know what? No, the original Muppet Babies TV series was incredible, but I don't even know if you can get your hands on it now. They've rebooted it, it's just a normal cartoon. It's not really that great. But the original one they used. So the original Muppet Babies cartoon, it was taken from a scene from Muppets Take Manhattan where Miss Piggy pretended that they were all babies. So it was like Muppet Babies and it was for kids. But they would intersplice scenes from like Indiana Jones and Star Wars and E.T. and
With the Muppet Babies.
So you'd have the cartoon and it was like, it was just really random. And they had one episode where, they were playing make-believe but they're pretending they were in Star Wars. But all of the different characters were characters from Star Wars except for RTD2, which was one of those pedal bins, and it was just like it was all about them using their imagination and creating these wonderful worlds. It was brilliant, but
it sounds
because it was so topical for its time, especially with its references to movies and characters and stuff. I can't get my hands on it.
Then there was the Jim Henson Hour, 1989, Muppets Tonight.
Oh, that was the one with the prawn, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the Muppet Show finished in 81 and this started in 96. And then Muppet Christmas Carol, which we've seen. Muppet Treasure Island, Muppets from Space.
That was a good one. I remember watching that.
Which one?
Death, Muppets in Space.
I've never seen it. That's the one about Gonzo trying to find his family in space.
I vibed with Gonzo quite heavily in my early days of being alive. I felt like an outcast and stuff. And but I really loved it. I thought it was hilarious. My friend and I quote parts of the movie to each other all the time. Mainly the doctor, 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 doctor.
That's just like Fletch.
But it's also in the Muppets where like one Muppet and another Muppet were talking, trying to look like doctors in front of an actual doctor in this science facility.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But I'm actually one of the old men now.
I always related to Fozzie when I was a kid because I always wanted to be a comedian, but no one ever laughed at me.
Well, we're laughing at you now.
Oh, and they're laughing at me now.
And then Disney acquired the Muppets from the Henson family in 2004. And since then, they've had the Muppets movie, 2011, Muppets Most Wanted, 2014, prior a reboot of Muppet Babies, 2015, Muppets Now, 2020.
That's the one you were talking about with the online show.
And the Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, we watched that.
2021. The other character, of course, is Frank Oz, who plays Fozzie Bear. also Miss Piggy.
Yeah, I was going to say Miss Piggy. And even when he became a director, he would still voice Fozzie and Miss Piggy whenever he could as well. Like, he was doing both jobs. Yeah. So it was this big, serious director, but he was also Miss Piggy.
Do you know what I want to know? Is I want to know who was doing the songs before Disney got their hands on them, because in the movies, Brett McKenzie wrote the songs for them and he did an amazing job and kept very heavily to the spirit of the Muppets.
Paul Williams is the guy who did the movie. Did the music. He wrote Rainbow Connection, It's Not Easy Being Green, lots of the songs from the original movies. But yeah, he's one of the guests on The Muppet Show back in the early days. Yeah. And that's when he became really close with them. And then when they decided to do the movies, then he got involved and wrote the music for the movies.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. He was one of those actors. You see him, you go, kind of, oh, yeah, I reckon I know him from somewhere. He's one of those guys who just kind of pops up around the place. And he's in the new Muppets movies, but like background cameo type stuff. Yeah, so, yeah.
Admittedly, when you say Paul Williams, you don't mean the like no. young New Zealand comedian that also writes songs. Okay, cool.
No.
So who hasn't seen The Muppets, The Muppet Show? Jeanette hasn't seen The Muppet Show.
I have seen a few, but they stopped showing them on TV when I was young, so I've only seen a couple of them. And that's the thing, it's kind of a lot of this old stuff which the previous generations would have grown up with because they were always on repeats. They just stopped doing repeats like that by like the 90s. And so there's only a few things that actually aired that way. So,
I reckon I was in upper primary when they stopped showing it, so yeah, you would have been...
Yeah, so a lot of this stuff, I've only seen like a handful of episodes. I know most of the characters from The Muppets. Like, I've seen a couple of the movies. I've seen them in the movies from the 90s, Treasure Island and Christmas Carol, but most of their oeuvre from The Muppet Show, I've not actually seen that much of it. But yeah, I'm aware of the old stars who you don't recognise who they are is a
tale. One of the interesting things I've found as well, it's like when you go back and watch Monty Python's Flying Circus, like you know all the famous sketches, you know the ones that are funny, but then when you actually go through and watch an episode from start to finish, you're like, oh, there's actually a lot that fall flat here. Yeah. Like it's actually surprising. Yeah. There's a lot of gold, but you've got to dig through a lot of dirt to get to the gold. Yeah. And I think I'm not saying
almost
that the Muppet Show is like that, but I think
every comedy show is like that. Though. Yeah. Sketch comedy is always
like that.
That's it.
Sketch comedy is always full of flat stuff, and then you hit one that's really good and a classic.
Yeah, that's it. So I think, you know, everyone remembers the classic sketches, the new manamanas and things like that. Mm. But yeah.
The Swedish Chef.
Because Justin made us all watch it before we went to Sweden.
Swedish lessons.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
Swedish Chef. And we'd be roaming around in Gamla Stan going manama.
Oh, the locals would have loved that. Barky bark, bark, bark.
So, two relevant facts. I used to go to nightclubs when I was a teenager, and two of them used to use Kermit the Frog singing alternately Somewhere Over the Rainbow. They'd turn up all the lights, and up would come Kermit the Frog singing, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or It's Not Easy Being Green as Get Out music.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what? I don't understand that they put a beat behind it. No, that was their time to go home.
That was the time to go home. That song
Yeah.
And the other relevant fact is our local cinema still has the box with the two old men watching
the
audience.
What
if
you're
That's been there from the word go, those living characters.
Since the word go. The
from
old
like
men,
early 90s.
The old
yeah,
men,
I
the heckling old men are still there while you're watching the latest
Avengers movie,
heckling the audience.
Yeah.
And they used to be mobile too. So they used to actually light up and they would do something and make a few comments. But they don't do that anymore.
I never saw them do that.
No, I didn't know
that. Anyway, so on with the Muppet Show. And tonight we're watching the episode with Vincent Price from season one. I don't remember.
I haven't seen this one, but I know Baylor suggested it's a really good episode.
It's one that actually holds up. They used to do a comedy thing at the Arca Bar where I used to be an audiovisual technician. And the guy that runs it would talk about the Muppets being like a really big inspiration for him when he was growing up. And so I was like, okay, sure. And I downloaded the entire thing and started watching it just literally because of that, and would play it on projectors and stuff as I was like setting up beforehand because they were really fun.
That's how I watched the TV show. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so on with the Muppets.
You know we were recording that, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we slipped and accidentally watched the Mark Hamill episode as well.
Which is strange, it's in a completely different season.
Yeah. And we had to use a completely different method of watching.
Well, it was an accident. You know, these small slips do happen.
Yeah. But as my mum always says, and it was a happy accident.
Yeah. I think we all agreed that the Vincent Price episode wasn't nearly as good as the Mark Hamill one, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think you put it
halfway through.
Yeah, and I think you put it perfectly. By season four, it's obviously they knew what they were doing.
Because Vincent Price was season one, and it seems like they were still trying to find their grounds and stuff. And while the Vincent Price one was really good and funny, the Mark Hamill one, he just had a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he really did love it.
He took it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
It was a different level. The first one was good, but the second one was a whole different
level.
It
was just chaos. I think initially they tried to structure it too much, and then this felt more chaotic. Yes.
Almost more natural, less rigid.
Yeah. In a way that you could with light puppets, it would have had to have been scripted so much, but then they to have a scripted chaos is something really magical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Certainly their singers have improved as well. I mean, the actual voices were better.
Yes.
So what do you think modern audiences would think of that? I mean, we are the modern audience, I guess.
As a first-time watcher, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. I'd watch, like, it's based on the guest stars.
Yeah.
So if I were to go, they've got that guest star, I'll check that one out. Like, Christopher Lee was mentioned as being one of the guest stars. That's one of the episodes I may go out and watch. I don't think I'd binge it sort of thing. I wouldn't,
No,
I'd watch
I
on a very case-by-case basis.
Mm. Yeah.
But what about for kids?
Oh, I'm not a kid.
We have one. Do you like this show? How much have you watched?
About like a few episodes.
Every episode.
And but why did you watch those episodes?
Because my mum made me.
You've watched the movies, right? The Muppets movies, have you?
You don't remember?
Like a few.
I was going to say if you liked the Muppets movies over the TV show or more than the TV show.
You can't remember them. We're going to have to go back and watch them now.
Find out on the next podcast.
Oh, no.
Mackenzie, were you here when we watched the Christmas Carol?
Yeah, I was thinking of that one while I was thinking.
Yeah?
And did you like that one?
Yeah, really good.
And what do you think is better, the Christmas Carol movie or the Song and
Christmas
Dance?
Christmas Carol.
Oh, you like the movie better.
It's really good because it's like a retake over.
They really do a good job, don't they?
Yeah, but they use it with puppets.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
What characters do you like on the Muppets?
I like Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy.
Animal.
Great. Animal.
Animal girl is crazy, just like I am.
Yeah, I can see that. My mother.
What? What's this got to do with me?
Well, that's a good point. Animal always flails his hands. I can see that.
I never thought I'd get compared to Animal out of everyone.
So, Jeanette, this was the first time you've watched it. What did you think?
I really, especially the second one, I really enjoyed it. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. But Mark Hamill was hilarious. And when C-3PO did the tap dance, that was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And Mark Hamill was so much fun. Yeah, I respect him more as an actor now after seeing him do that.
Yeah, I did enjoy Vincent Price being hammy, though. I thought he was brilliantly hammy.
Yeah.
I think if you know who Vincent Price is, it'd be the same as Christopher Lee, right? If you knew who he was and seen him in all, like,
the horror old movies.
And stuff like that, you would totally love the Vincent Price episode.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Vincent Price in anything.
I don't think I have
Vincent
either.
Vincent Price starts out very serious and it gets hammier as the years go on.
Well, he was a stage actor. You know, he started out on stage. You know, he was a serious stage actor that eventually got, hammier and hammier. But that's what people cast him as.
But he enjoyed doing that.
And clearly he enjoys doing that.
And that was a couple of years before he was in the thriller, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller and things like that. And what was he? Edward Scissorhands? And,
Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, he created Edward.
That was just before he died, I think.
And he was in The Simpsons. There's an episode of The Simpsons with him in it. Around the time he died, Marge and Lisa were creating like little model sets or something, or plasticine things. And so Marge tried calling up the place and it has Vincent Price on the box and it's like...
It's a Mr. Potato Head thing.
It's a Mr. Potato Head thing. And he does this whole little bit. But yeah.
That's it.
And then he ends up driving the bus at the very, very end of the episode. What did you think, Alex?
I think part of it is annoying was any time there's a musical number, it just felt... really dragging. Like, say it. I think also as well, like, I remember
Muppet
seeing...
parties.
I think it's also because I'm from the era of, like, the 600 Vine, and you could make some of those jokes that they did, but in 5 seconds and have the joke
going.
And having the entire song, it's like, oh, okay, this is the bit. Okay, can I get to the next bit of the show, please?
Yeah, we're ready for the next bit now. We're just... All we needed was 30 seconds of that, and then you could have moved on.
Maybe just 6 seconds, just like... Part of the most annoying bit is just realizing how much of the show is actually like musical numbers and
yeah,
that's why I drift off too.
You can tell they're having fun doing it though.
That's the thing.
I want to mention the reference in the first episode to Jack Parnell when he turns at midnight into Jack Parnell, and we all know who's Jack Parnell. He's the musical conductor through the entire series, so it's an in-joke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
He conducted the orchestra through the entire series.
Oh, so it wasn't just that we didn't understand it, like, people watching at home probably didn't understand either.
Yeah, the thing with old shows is that, like, say they're doing musical numbers, I didn't recognise half the songs.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that kind of, it made sense at the time, but it doesn't actually, it's reference humour kind of fails after a while.
Yeah.
And it's because
I think there was a lot of older type songs, like your 1940s, 1950s style songs, which is like, good, but it's a lot further away for us than it was for them.
And it shows a lot further away from us than their songs were for them.
Yeah.
So it was like the 70s, it was like 40 years ago.
In the 70s, that was the kind of music people's grandmothers were listening to.
It was definitely very dated.
So we're listening to them there, then this show was to us. Which is weird when nostalgia works like that. But,
it's interesting when you look at their guest list. A lot of their guest list are people from the era, and not only the era that the show was playing, but a long time beforehand. So Vincent Price, all of his movies were probably prior to that episode. Most of his movies were prior to that episode. And a lot of their guests are the same. So I mentioned there was Don Knotts and Bob Hope. And to a modern generation, they've never even heard of those
people. Even the generation that's being made would be.
And they're both comedy characters from the 1950s even.
This is the thing about the Muppets, and I know that it's definitely a thing with the Sesame Street as well, because Muppets went down for a bit, but everybody wanted to be on the Muppets or on Sesame Street, especially if they were in like a massive horror or action star, because then their kids could watch it. And I know that a lot of people were actually asking at one point to go on to certain things, because or got super excited because they're like, my child can watch this, and they really want their child to know what they can do, but they can't go, oh, I act in this really scary thing. Instead, they can see them alongside like their child's favorite.
Say that's what happened with Michael Caine? That's why he was he was so up for doing Muppet's Christmas Carol. They're like going, oh, we're not going to be able to get Michael Caine. He's like, oh, this is awesome. This is something my grandkids can enjoy.
And then decided to act like incredibly serious beside the Muppets. I don't know how he did it.
I don't know the line that said basically he said he was only active if he was working with the Shakespeare Company, the Royal Shakespeare Company. That's basically an ethos for the entire film, and that's what he did.
He nailed it.
So, what was the score for that one?
Oh, God.
And what food type is it?
A big breakfast?
No, I'd say it's kind of like a mixed bag of popcorn where the butter's not soaked all the way through and the salt's not got to all of them. So occasionally you'll get, you know, just a bland pit of popcorn with not much flavour. But there'll be like, you know, a couple of nice tasty ones mixed in. So like...
With lollygobble bliss bombs mixed in.
I don't know what that is.
It's popcorn.
You are showing your age.
I am, it's popcorn dipped in caramel or something, or toffee.
Oh, God.
So you pull out one of those.
I've heard of them, but I've never had
so,
one before.
Okay, so that mixed in, where you find one of those and go, oh, this is disgusting. I'm not a caramel person. So.
Okay. It's like caramel, I'd enjoy.
No, I'm not a caramel or toffee person.
Oh, shame.
And what number? What number?
Okay.
Out of 16.35.
Out of 16.35.
You can rate each episode individually if you want.
They're both very different.
They are really different.
They are very different. Like, I really enjoyed the Mark Hamill one. That was a lot of fun.
Is that because it had Star Wars references?
It had Star Wars references, but it actually also just... Mark Hamill seemed to kind of show himself up a bit more. And he was clearly really known because of Star Wars. And that was why they got him on. So he had to be Luke Skywalker throughout the show. But he was also kind of introducing a little bit of himself and just having fun as himself as well.
Yes.
And I like that kind of the dual nature of his character. While Vincent Price was just... He was playing Vincent Price, in a sense, but Mark Hamill was being kind of Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker,
And I guess for someone who, if he was really only known, I think before he did Star Wars, he was on General Hospital. I think that's where his background kind of was. So this was a good way for him to show off his versatility and comic timing and his range.
He could voice act because he started doing the Joker. Early on, like the first lot of animated Batman series, he was the voice of the Joker and has been to this day.
I think he retired from the voice.
That mad,
yeah.
Yeah.
That mad kind of individual.
I think he retired from being voice actor in like halfway through 2010, like between 2010
and
2020.
And yet he's been in everything, like, every single Star Wars related thing, especially in Disney, except for the prequels. Because he voice acts robots and he's like, he still does that sort of thing. So he's even in the sequels that have come out. He's been in Mandalorian as well as one of the robots. And I think he's literally in pretty much everything.
I think he's been in two of the Flash TV shows as well. He was like the trickster or something like that.
Okay.
Both the old one and then basically, I don't know if he reprised the role. But yeah, he basically played the trickster yet again in the more recent Flash TV series.
For anyone who's an Avatar Last Airbender, he plays the evil Ozai, Fire Lord Ozai. But if you look him up on IMDb, under Avatar, he has about 7 or 8 different titles. And you're like, wow, he played a lot of characters. But it's literally Fire Lord Ozai, Ozai, King of the Fire Nation, or Fire Lord of the Fire Nation.
Phoenix King Ozai,
the
Fire
Lord.
It's
all the same thing, but it's all, like, just different titles for him, and it's hilarious.
So rating the two episodes separately, I'd say the Mark Hamill episode, I'd give that, like, a 15 out of 16.2535. I really enjoyed that episode. That was good fun. They still sung in it, which was a down.
And they had Muppet parties too.
Yeah. This is a couple of points. Oh, but the Muppet party had C-3PO tap dancing, Justin. How can you object to that?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That was hilarious.
That was
also, Mark Hamill and C-3PO, like, just touching their heads together when they're like, everyone has to dance, and they're just like,
just having a moment to share the pain.
I was with them.
Yeah.
Like my husband watching a TV show, and he'll be like, there'll be something on, and he'll start watching it, and then he's like, oh, they're going to sing, and then walks out the room.
Yeah.
No, I don't do singing.
No.
Owen was like that when he was little. We put on some chitty chitty bang bang as soon as we start to sing, he'd walk out. He hated the singing.
Yeah, and I think I'd give the Vincent Price episode an 8, 9
an 8?
Maybe.
Oh,
that's
really
high.
Out of
16.35,
that's
over 50%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's around 50%?
Yeah, I'd give it about 50%, yeah.
Mm. What do you reckon, kiddo?
I was watching.
What did you think of the two episodes?
Which was the best out of the two?
The last one.
The last one.
Because it's so funny when he, like, says, oh, and then
Luke Skywalker.
He just dances.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually likes it.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other thing before we wrap up is, who is everyone's favourite Muppets character?
I'm bad with favourites. Don't ask me.
Only one?
No, I don't.
I've got one on one side saying, don't ask me favourites, and one on the other side going, only one?
She can pick favourites for Alex and I, because I don't know any.
Yeah, you don't
like
know
that.
Them.
I think it's also trying to look at the Muppets from the Muppets show is a bit awkward, because I don't really know enough of all the minor characters. Like, Kermit the Frog has been in everything, whether it's Scooter or the... Was it? Doug Teeth is the head of the band.
Yeah.
Oh, Electric Mayhem.
Electric Mayhem, that's the band thing. Yeah. It's like, I'm not familiar enough with all those characters to know, oh, this is what the characters are like. So I'd have to have a default to Kermit, because this is the only one I'm familiar enough with to say, this is what I like.
I like Miss Piggy, because she's been an idol for, plus-size women, and she was kind of like the first idol for plus-size women, because she owned who she was.
And, and her entire ethos.
Yeah, the moment Mark Hamill was like, wow, you're a bit, and she's like, I will cut you in half. Like, she is just so,
she's so tense.
And she's so proud of who she is as well. She's not shy. She's like, I'm a big girl, but I don't care.
Yeah.
And I think that, Piggy would be my favourite.
Yeah, I'd probably say
overall.
Well.
She's so all-encompassing, and she's tough, she's strong, but she's also sweet and feminine, demure. It's like, she can be all of those things.
And she's a bit crazy as well. Like, she's a bit overbearing for Kermit. And you're like, well, that's not what I want in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, a good example of, like, what not to be in a relationship, but who to be within yourself, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This is tough because I don't really know the Muppets characters either.
Oh, my God.
No.
Well, this is the first time I've seen an episode of the Muppets show.
You've watched the movie.
You know
the
movies.
The movies.
You know
I don't remember a lot of their names. Actually, the tall one at the end of that episode was pretty decent. Really, he was quite tall.
Oh, my God. Chewbacca?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my God.
Exactly who you were going to pick. Peanut.
My favourite's Yoda too.
Stop it.
Frank Oz. Yeah,
you know the person who does the voice of Fozzie Bear does the voice of Yoda?
Oh!
Yeah.
Literally saw her mind being blown right.
Yeah.
Fozzie Bear and Yoda are the same.
Admittedly, you were mentioning the band early on, right? I'm a fan of the Muppets. Which is a thing in the more recent TV series.
Yeah, in the movies,
With Dave Grohl as the drummer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would probably be the next.
So, Jeanette, your favourite?
I don't really have one because I'm not.
Don't have one. I think American Eagle.
Hey!
Oh, yes, he was the best one
to
play.
He is taking the smig.
He is. At the time, I never really got him when I was younger, but now it's you see that character on TV all the time now,
He's terrible. But there was like a video game, like a racing car video game, which was The Muppets on PlayStation, which I used to play with my best friend. And he was like the coolest one to play because he would just degrade you if you messed up anywhere later on. I remember like, oh, I should be able to do better. Maybe it's not my handling. Maybe someone else is controlling me. Something like that. It was like a throwaway thing.
Oh! What's your favourite?
My favourite is Miss Piggy because she knows karate.
That is a great reason
and
for it.
Every time she does it, she always says, "Hiya!"
Karate chops.
And she is always stepping up for herself.
Yeah.
She has a good side, she has a bad side.
See, and there's, like, for Mackenzie, Miss Piggy's an amazing person to have as a role model.
Yep.
Yeah.
Either that or animal.
If she was real, she would be my friend by now.
Yeah.
Aww.
I think you'd be everybody's friend, though.
No, only cool people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that rules me out, then.
Same.
That's true, because I'm pretty sure Lisa once said that I was Mackenzie's friend and Mackenzie referred to you as the other guy. So, yeah.
Not anymore now. What do you call him now?
Yeah, I'd still call him that. Yeah.
No, the guy that I played the dice games with.
Yeah.
So who's your favourite, Lisa?
Oh, when I was younger, it was always Fozzie. I always liked Fozzie.
Fozzie Bear. Yeah. I mean, he's my second, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll call
we
it
were
that.
Just doing
yeah, so that was The Muppets, and we watched two episodes. Vincent Price and Mark Hamill.
Oh, I thought we were watching Star Wars.
We got way too much Star Wars. And we'll see you in a month with another episode. Okay.
He's having a Muppet party. He can't talk to the phone right now.
He's playing his own
elevator
music. Someone
who doesn't like Muppet parties.
And we'll see you next week. Or next month.
Waka waka waka.
Waka 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 waka.
Bye.
Bye.